We are in Sefer Chovos HaLevavot. We are in Shaar Avodas Elokim, and we are up to Tam HaShlishi. We're discussing, Baruch Hashem, we're out of the Mikat now. We're discussing, there's two levels in Avodas Hashem. There's a level in Avodas Hashem where you do everything that you do because you don't want to get in trouble. You recognize there's a negative consequence for not fulfilling the will of Hashem, and you just want to be in a good place. You don't want to be running into any difficulties or challenges. You want to have a smooth, easy life, and therefore you have fulfilled the will of Hashem because the community encourages it, and your family encourages it, and you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu encourages it. So you particularly believe in it or want a relationship with Hashem, love Dafka, not necessarily, but that was level number one. And then level number two was where you are developing a relationship directly with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The relationship is what's important to you. You care about Hashem. It's not just about not getting in trouble, but you want to develop that relationship. And we were saying there are seven reasons why the second level is higher than the first level. So Tam HaShlishi, Yifnei Shehavoda Sheirat Totsa'a Shlis Orud Alidei Torah Mitvatat Yoter Alidei Kiyo Ma'asim Tovim Ba'ivarim Me'asher Alidei Avodat Elokim Atzpuna Balev. ואילו כשהתוצאה היא תוצאה של הבנת השכל, אז עבודת תכונה בלב, חובות הלבבות, היא כפליי מעבודה נעשית על ידי האיברים. This reason is huge. It's a huge reason. There's a level of serving Hashem with your body, and there's a level of serving Hashem with your heart. We, everyone in this room, has already given themselves over fully to serving Hashem with their body. Everyone in this room is willing to put on tefillin on a daily basis. Everyone in this room is willing to fulfill any mitzvah that comes their way. They will say a bracha before they eat food. Giving the body over to Hashem is relatively easy. Relative. Not easy in every respect, every person. But it's relatively easy. You don't have to be thinking. In a sense, you could relegate your service to Hashem to habit. Someone who keeps Shabbos from a young age and knows the halachas of Shabbos, for him it's not keeping Shabbos. It's just when you're in your home, you act in a certain way, and when you're in a classroom, you act in a certain way, and if you would enter a museum, you would act in another way. So if you enter Shabbos, you act in another way. It just becomes the nature of how to behave, because it's service of the body. So someone who serves the Kodesh Baruch Hu on the level of, I just want to be good, I just don't want to get in trouble, I just want everything to be calm, I want everyone to be happy with me. And that's their basic level of serving Hashem, which I think is mostly, most people's basic level of serving Hashem. They haven't thought deeply about developing a relationship, they just thought, what's expected, what do I need to do, I'll do that, everyone will be happy, no one will be upset with me, I'll get along well, I'll find a good shidduch, everything will be fine, it'll be smooth. On that level, then you're serving Hashem on the level of the body. Meaning you're training yourself to go into a kind of a social norm of a habitual serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a level of where you can make it second nature, which is not necessarily a good thing. And a huge way for you to tell within yourself what level you're on of these two levels is, does Yirat Shamayim interest you when it's something which is only between you and Hashem? For example, Kavana and Davening. Someone who's on the level of, I just want to be good. I just don't want to get in trouble with anyone, with Hashem, with other people, with anyone. So just tell me what I need to do. Tell me the halacha, I'll keep the halacha. For them, the topic of kavanah and davening, although they'll know it's an important topic, and they may read about it, they may try it a little bit, but it won't be a topic which is burning for them. If it's something easy to do, they'll do it. Why not? It's another halacha. It's like which comes to them kind of naturally, they're fine to have kavanah and davening. It's not a big deal. But if it's a little more difficult, and they're anyway davening, right? They're not missing the davening, they're davening. And they tried to have it, it didn't really work for them, it won't bother them so much. Because they're not on the level of the relationship with Hashem. They're on the level of the external service of Hashem. They're fulfilling that. So why do they have to have a deeper? Or another example. Let's say you have someone who doesn't hate someone in a way that it expresses itself. They don't hit them. They're not rude towards them, but they do have a grudge. There is something within them that's making them feel amnesty towards someone else. But in no way is it being expressed. They're transgressing an issa d'oraisa of Lositna is achicha bilvavecha. They're retaining hatred in their heart. One thingly. Will that bother them? Will that say, I can't have this? I can't allow this to be? I'm retaining and this is the right thing in my heart? Or will they say, look, I'm not rude to them. It's not getting in my way or their way in any way. So what's the big deal? Let it pass. My body is serving Hashem the way it's supposed to. So here you can clearly differentiate between the two levels of service of Hashem. A person who is an orthodox religious Jew, a God-fearing Jew, who's keeping all the halachas, but it's his body serving Hashem, and he's doing it just so that he won't like run into trouble with anyone. He'll be doing a lot of good, but it will be to some degree external. Also for him, if he can get rid of the anger in his heart, then he'll do it. If it's not a big deal, he's not dafka looking. But if he has a grudge and he's holding on to it for any reason, he'll keep it going. Why should he let it go? But someone who the relationship with Hashem is important, then he knows that as long as he's holding a grudge towards someone else, he's creating a blockage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and him. When a person is holding anger, intentionally holding anger between them and someone else, they block their emotion. The emotion doesn't differentiate between a friend or Hashem. The emotion of love becomes blocked. And now when they come to try and feel a love for Hashem, it won't be as smooth, it won't be as open, because they have a place in their heart which they're blocking emotion. And they're saying, I hate that person. And it might not express itself in any way, but as long as they're holding on to it, they won't be able to. That would bother them. Someone who has a nefesh yafeh, someone who has a avodat Hashem oriented mindset, someone who is avodat Hashem is about his relationship with Hashem, not just about doing whatever he needs to do, not to just like pass the social test. That will bother him. That's difference number three. Why huge, valuable concept to move beyond. Now, you're not going to necessarily see any consequence by you serving Hashem on the first level, because the reinforcement you get from other people is just the same. Right? If your level of kavana in davening is, let's say, you're going to do 1 out of 10, is it a 2? Or if it's a 10, you're not going to get any different reinforcement from other people. If you don't come to davening, you may get feedback. But if about your kavana, you're not going to get feedback. If someone would hate someone else in their heart, they're not going to get any social feedback from them. No one's going to say, if it's not expressing itself, right? If it's just within them, they're not going to get any feedback. So they don't feel any need to change. Only someone who the relationship between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is important to them, and that's their world. Their world is one of wanting to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those topics will bother them tremendously, and they will actively be working on it. There are two levels of serving Hashem within serving Hashem. There's being an Eved Hashem and there's being a Ben Shel Hashem. There's serving Hashem and there's being a child of Hashem. The first level is certainly, I do the will of Hashem. But it shouldn't be that you remain in that place. It shouldn't be, I do the will of Hashem, whatever it takes, that's what I do. There's a clear goal of having a relationship with Hashem, not just as a servant, but as a goal of a son. Avinu Malkeinu. To have both relationships. So yes, primary level is, I mean, if you want to add that in, then there are three levels here. There's a level where you don't really, really care about your relationship with Hashem, you just want to be good with everyone. And that's not even really Avodah Hashem on a high level at all. That's just getting by. That's doing the will of Hashem. Then there's a level of, I want to do the will of Hashem, whatever it takes. And that person would work on Lo Tishna Shachecha B'Lavecha, because they want to do the right thing. But it's still not caring about the relationship to the same degree of wanting to have a closeness, wanting to feel a love. Then there's a level of the sun, which is what we're aiming for. Okay, point number four. That was point number three. Point number four. Tamar v'ihu, v'pnei sha'avodah hi totza'a shel itorus al-midei Torah, hi kamo mavo el avodah hanovat mihavenat ha-sechah, v'hi mushula l'garin ha-zerua ba'adamah. Ha-to'elet sh'yesh la'avodah zo, doma la'to'elet sh'yesh la'adamah mihaibud, ha-charisha v'ha-nikui. העזרה שאלוקים מסייע לאדם בעבודתו דומה לגשם המשקיע את האדמה. וכמושה מטרת זריעת הגרעין היא מה שהאדמה תוציב את הצמיח, כן עיקר ותכלית של עבודת השם הנובעת מתוך ההתעוררות על ידי התורה, שתשרש בלבבות עבודת האלוקים, שתעשה רק למען שמו יתברך, לא לשם קבלת שכר, לא מפחד העונש, כמו שהזהרנו חכמינו, אל תהיו כעבדים המשמשים את הרב על מנת לקבל פרס, אלא אהבו כעבדים המשמשים את הרב שלא על מנת לקבל פרס, והיא מורה השמיים עליכם. Maybe you were saying, maybe not, this is my understanding of it. I'm not 100% sure that's good. He gives a mashal of a seed that's planted in the ground. When you plant a seed in the ground, the seed itself, the planting of the seed itself is not enough to determine that it will grow into something. You need also rain that comes from above. There's a work that you do which is down here in this world, which is the planting of the seed. And then there's a heavenly help, a divine assistance that comes down to a person. When a person is doing the work down here himself, he plants a seed, he's not sure necessarily what's going to come up or how it's going to come up. It's not necessarily determined. It might come up and there's a famine, there's a disease in it. When it's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the sake of HaKadosh, when you're doing it because you want rewards, then you're putting in effort and you're looking at your effort. As long as you're looking at your effort and not turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and relying on Him for the divine help, then that by itself is not going to work. When someone plants a seed and they say, okay, I've done my efforts now, there's no guarantee there's going to be a next stage of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone who serves Hashem and his goal in serving Hashem is, let me do what I need to do, he's like burying a seed. But he's not then doing the next stage of turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. There's not going to be the divine assistance that comes down. Each Seder of Mishnayos has a different name. Zeraim is related to Emunah. And Chazal maybe make that comparison because farmers are in a work where they put in the initial Ishtadlut, but they have absolute clarity that by themselves they're not going to be successful. They're going to need to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the final stage and the final help. That creates them to be people with emunah. There was once a person who came here and he spoke to the yeshiva. It was the month or month and a half after Gush Katif fell. And Keren B'Yavneh took in people who didn't have anywhere to go. It was the date that it happened was 2 days after Tisha B'Av. So anyway, the dormitories were available. And tens of families came and were staying in the dorms. Their homes were uprooted from their homes. They had nowhere to be. And they were staying in the dormitories here. So in the 3 weeks in between when Gush Katif was uprooted and until Rosh Chodesh Elul, most of them found somewhere to go. But there were a few families who didn't. And they were staying on the ground floor of the King David. The top two floors were Bokhrim, and the bottom floor was families. Families who didn't have anywhere to go. They're homeless. Their homes were destroyed. So they asked someone to speak from the group. And he got up and this is what he said. I'll never forget this. He said in Hebrew, it's much more powerful. I'll say it in English. He said, do you think you learn Yemuna and Yeshiva? He said, you learn books. That's what you learn. He said, we learn Emuna. We go out there in the fields and we plant and we turn to Hashem and we say, Hashem, we need your help for this to be successful. All your books don't help anything. We are real Balei Emunah. was so powerful. It was so powerful. And it's true. You can learn the theory behind emunah, and you can be satisfied with the fact that you're learning about emunah, but only when a test comes your way, where you actually have to turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's when you see if the emunah is real, and if it had any effect. There was a boy who learned here 2 years ago, and he told me that his parents both worked in professions where they were totally dependent on emunah. His father was an architect, and his mother was a real estate dealer. They had no idea if they were going to be employed. Could be 2 years have passed, they wouldn't be employed. The mother was, whenever she made a sale, she put in a lot of effort, showing people houses. But sometimes a year would go and she wouldn't sell anything. But sometimes 1 month she would sell 3 houses. And the father also, he was a private architect. So when someone would hire him as a private individual to work on the house, then he had business, and then he would have business for a few months. And if not, not. And he said the emunah in the home was tangible. They would have their kids. They would say to the kids, they were very honest there. They said, we're short of money now. If Abba or Ima get a job in the next couple of months, we're going to be good. And if not, then we're going to have to take loans. It's a family business. We're all in this together. Please, everyone, daven that him and his sisters, they grew up with tangible emunah. And he said it never happened that they went into debt. It never happened. Between the mother or the father, they always had jobs. And they always had either enough, like from the past that kept them going, or... And he came to you and he said, like, emunah is not like an issue for him. Meaning, like, he learns about emunah and he just... It's natural. It's like another thing. Because he grew up in a family where they relied on Hashem. Like the father. So that's another difference between the two levels. If you're on the first level, where you're planting the seed, but you're not then turning to Hashem and recognize that it's all for Him, then technically you're doing what you need to do. You can tick the box, I did my job. But the next stage of recognizing that it's all the will of Hashem, which is what brings down the rain, which is the emunah, which is the real point of the whole planting. The point of planting is that then you then turn to Hashem and recognize that you're totally dependent on Him and build a relationship. You're going to miss that stage. But if you recognize that the goal of your planting is not the plant, but the goal of the planting is putting yourself in a situation where you're now dependent on Hashem, oh, now you're going to have what the Tanakh is brought before. There was a Rebbe who once taught in Karen B'Avnet. He has a book they have in the library. I never met him, but I read his book. I enjoy it very much. So he writes there that one of the reasons that the Chazal say that they built Migdal Bavel was because they wanted to take control of rain. The sun is something which comes with a pattern. And therefore you don't need to pray to Hashem about the sun. It's going to come every day at a certain time anyway. You can make a calendar and work out when it's going to be. Rain, you're totally dependent on the Kadosh Baruch Hu when it's going to happen. Will it happen? Won't it happen? You're totally dependent. They didn't want to have that dependency. They didn't want to have the sense of having to rely on Hashem. And therefore they built this tower where in their minds that was going to give them control over the rain. So not only the sun is natural, but also the rain will be in their control. I mean, the opposite of this, in a sense you can say they wanted to serve Hashem, but they wanted to serve Hashem where they feel a sense of control, not where they have to turn to Hashem to serve Hashem. They're the ones like controlling how the serving of Hashem is going. They built this tower, and Hashem said, no, you can't do that. Destroy the bubble. Destroy it. Set them apart. You have to always be in a state where you're looking to Hashem and saying, Hashem, without you I can't be successful. Hashem, without you this whole thing's not going to work. What time? 7:10? So that was reason number 4, reason number 5. Be'ezer Hashem Yitzbarach, tomorrow we'll continue with reason number... That was 3 and 4 with 5 and 6.